Well, good morning. I hope you're doing well. Thank you for those who might come to visit with us, and I hope you feel welcome. We've been going through a series that the Pharisees started to ask Jesus a question. The time period is about a week before his death on the cross. And the thing that came up with the Pharisees is they're trying to find a way to trap Jesus. They're also, at that same time as they're trying to trap him, get him to say things that they can use as evidence. And we remember, as we went going backwards, we remember that part of that, I'm getting an echo though, part of that was what authority does Jesus have to teach as he does? What authority? And we found out, as we went through, that Jesus didn't answer them directly. He asked them a question. By what authority did John the Baptist have the message of repentance? Answer me that, and I will answer you. And remember, their heads were spinning. If we say he's from God, then we've opened the door that Jesus can say, well, why are you asking? Mine's too from God. If they say he's from man, the people saw John the Baptist as a prophet. And we said, as many of the responses we get from children when they were asked, by what authority, and it was switched to them, they came up with the famous answer, I don't know. And so we've gone through a series of parables, stories, moral stories, to let you know that there is a heavenly side of things, and the story in some is interesting in themselves, but there is a message behind it, and only really by God's enlightenment can you really know what it is. And some is pretty black and white, and finally getting to the point where the Pharisees are getting to the point where they understand that it's them. I think it's interesting how Scripture works, isn't it? You know, we had the psalm to kind of remind us of today, what's happening. We had Isaiah just recently, and it mentions some things that, have you heard it before? Or read it before? How about in the book of Revelation? No more tears. No more sorrow, no more pain. Are you looking for that day? And here we get back to the point where there is a wedding feast. Did you know there's going to be another wedding? Did you know you're going to have a wedding? Men, we're going to be part of the church as a bride. Well, I have no comprehension what that is, right? What has to go through. But do you remember your wedding or a wedding you went through? Or the expense you pay for a wedding or for somebody. A lot of preparation, isn't there? There's some excitement. Hopefully in most cases or all cases, there's some excitement. And so he gives them a story about a wedding. Invitations have already been sent out. Those that are supposed to come, he's waiting for a response. Who do you think that is in Scripture? That's God. God has sent an invitation. If you haven't got one before, I'm going to give you one today. God's sending you an invitation. That invitation has come out to you that all you have to do to be invited is to come and see what God has done. We found out that issues became where man says, is God really fair? Remember the story of the denarius. And we said, it's not that God has to be fair in man's eyes, it's that God is good. Thank you. Some of you remember. And the question is, can you say today still, God is good? Has he been good to you this week? Some I talked to already this morning, they didn't have a good week. It's been a tough week for them. But if they really examine the picture of life, I'm sure they would still say, God is good. And what man thinks is fair or what should be done, we learned from the previous parables that is, God is God. God has the right to do what God wants to do. And God sets the rules and God takes a look, and he has the right to invite who he would want to invite. And he originally made an invitation to the people of Israel, to the nation, the Jewish nation, that they might understand through the prophets that there would be one coming, his son. Surely if his son comes, they'll accept his son, right? But what did we see in the previous parables? The son was continually mistreated and to the point where he was put out and he was killed. Because remember, they didn't want to before in the other parable defile the vineyard. They had to take him out of the vineyard and have him killed. Similar, as you look at the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, they take him out of the city and have him crucified outside of the city, so the city would not be defiled. So God himself sends an invitation. The invitation here today is that you might know his son. Come to the wedding. Come, accept what the God has done for you. He has sent his son to die on a cross because he paid your price for your sin. We remember Romans, it said we'd all earned a wage, didn't we? Our denarius was a little different. It says we have all sinned and what? We have deserved death. That was our reward for our work. But to have eternal life, we know that John 3:16 tells us that if we confess our sin and we accept him, that all who accept him will be his children and go to heaven. You can look up John 3:16, put your name in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he loves you. He sent an invitation. Now, I don't know if you've received that invitation before. I don't know what you do with your mail. Did you leave it in the mailbox? Did you put it on the table and say, I'll get to that stack later? I'm not going to go through it. What did you do with your invitation? The invitation was made, and guess what? There was no responses. The wedding date was set. Things were prepared. The expense was made. But guess what? Nobody wanted to come. So he sent a reminder. He sent servants out to remind folks. There's an invitation. There's an invitation. There's an invitation. We're ready to go. Are you coming? And what do some people do? They continued what? To ignore the invitation. Some said, you know, I'm too busy. I don't need to go and have the invitation. The wedding can go on. It's okay. Others thought other things were important. This is important. Now, what have you done with God's invitation? Did you respond? Have you done that? Or have you got to the point where I'll put it off till tomorrow? I'll look later. I've decided something is more important. Now, you've given me one thing where you've given me encouragement because you're here today. So there's an invitation to come to church, and you've come. So that's good to see. But in your life, there's been an invitation, and you may have heard more than once the gospel story, and you haven't responded. And the Pharisees, through all the parables as we're going through, they see themselves, but they have not humbled themselves to start teaching that Jesus was the Messiah. So the invitation has been stopped. And he knows no one else is coming, so he sends servants out to do what? I already spent the money. We've got to, already killed the oxen, the calves, or whatever, as we're going through. We've already paid for the place to have it. We need to go ahead and offer an invitation to others. And you know who the others are? The others were the Gentiles. It was offered to the Jews first. They did not accept it. Their teachers did not teach it. And so the offer went out and it said, come. You come. If you remember, as the disciples and the apostles went out and preached, they usually went out and they preached to who first? The Jew first. Paul would even go down to where they were washing the women were washing the clothes and give them the gospel first. They'd go to the synagogues first. And as we read the Bible and go through, we see it's opened to the Gentile. And so the question comes, as we said, what have you done with the invitation? Have you come and tasted and seen that God is good? Have you seen and felt redeemed that your sins have been removed? You're free from the burden of sin, and you can live for God. Now, we're not really sure. Some theologians think that there are two parables in one. Others mix it all together. And we see that as they come, they get dressed up to come. Now, it's interesting because there is no dress code now, right? But there was a day that people dressed a certain way when they came to a wedding, to a church, or to other things. We're not suggesting dress codes here. God accepts you who you are. But we had that in our world today in the United States. You remember the Senate? One of our senators, be it whatever you think of him, he decided that he was going to come in some shorts and a casual shirt. And every other senator dresses in a suit and tie. I was so glad when business went away from the tie. You know, you didn't have to wear it. I got a bunch of them, but it was nice when business didn't let that happen. It was funny. I had a guy who was ex-military. And when Casual Friday came along, remember that? That's when it kind of started in the workplace. Casual Friday came across, the workers wanted to wear their jeans, and they let them wear jeans. They even sometimes bought them even t-shirts or something to promote the company or something that was going on. But he wouldn't allow his staff to do that. His little group, they weren't allowed. They had to, what we used to call, wear work attire, okay? Now, I asked him one time, I said, why don't you give them Casual Friday? He says, I'm military. And we believe if you dress casual, you work casual. Interesting thought. Somebody can do a study on it, maybe. But here at this wedding, it was a practice to be dressed that you would know that person was going somewhere special and dressed for the wedding. God's not saying there's a dress code, but he's saying people were ready, and you could tell. Have you made yourself ready? Have you cleaned up your life? Have you confessed your sin before a holy God? Have you walked in a path that would say, I want to serve the God and I will do my best to honor him and serve him? Do I love others as I love myself? Do I do for others and think of them higher than sometimes myself? You judge that. Are you ready? Are you dressed? And the king's already gone through a lot. But he walks through, and what does he see? somebody not dressed appropriate for the wedding. That he sends out his messengers and he says, tie his hands and feet, and out he goes. The message is that not everyone, first of all, will respond to the invitation. That's the first part. You give out the gospel in your life, the way you live, by word or sharing the scripture. Not everybody's going to accept that invitation to come to church. Not everyone's going to accept that God has died for them for the forgiveness of their sin. They will not accept the invitation. God reached out to mankind and gave it to all people. He says anyone who wants to come can come. The invitation's there. And there'll be some that try to make it and say, oh, I'll come. But they're not dressed appropriately. They've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They want to partake of the things of God, but yet they're not a child of God. And there will be a day, as I told you, you know, I think maybe a little bit different. I mentioned it to my parents, you know, you think of the Ezekiel and some of the prophecy of what happens in Jerusalem, and you wonder, and you know they're God's people, and I'm thinking, man, if these people only knew, you know, how is it that you want to keep doing things? When are you going to get to the point where God's had enough? Remember the Six-Day War. This is when you really got to say, what's God going to do? And there'll be people later that, you know, those Pharisees were the ones really, were the one that thought they were all dressed, or, you know, dressed the way they should be. And they thought that they would be accepted in the wedding, and they're not addressed appropriately. And there'll be a day when we're called, and those in Christ Jesus will be caught up and called, and at the judgment seat, they will be accepted. And there will be the wedding. But there'll be there some that say, what about me? I did things in your name. I went to church. I did other things. I was a good person. And the Lord Jesus says what? Depart from me. For I never knew you. Or he asked, and people would ask, when did we not serve you? When did we not do something? He said, well, when someone came and they needed a drink. Someone needs something to eat. Someone needed clothes. And you turn them away. Depart from me. Folks, the invitation's here today even. Here, right in Boynton Beach. Right in the heart here. Right in church. That if you've been coming, but you've never personally accepted what God has done for you, today's the day. You've been invited. And it's your responsibility, not mine. It's your responsibility to accept the invitation. What will you do? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the parables that were to show the Pharisees that you loved them and that you wanted them to teach the Word of God. But they decided to teach and make rules of man. They decided to find ways to try to find fault with you, to find ways that they might kill you and think it was in their power and justification to do so. But you freely gave your life and invite each one of us to accept the work of the cross for the forgiveness of sins. May someone do that even today. And we bless you and we see your holy hand. May you fill us with your spirit and help us and guide our lives. Amen.